want to make you aware of some things. This coming Sunday, we're having a guest speaker, Todd Levin. He's from Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania. He was a missionary to the Czech Republic. Excellent Bible teacher. It'll be a blessing. It'd be a good opportunity to invite someone to come with you. It's always good to hear from a different perspective. We've had Todd here before many times, and it's always good. And make plans to join us on our church picnic August 1st. That's a Saturday. It's going to be from 1 to 4 at South Hills Park in Lebanon. Also, if you know anybody that wants to be water baptized, maybe they've never been baptized and they would like to be water baptized, or, you know, if you don't feel like, if you feel like you need to be baptized again, that's okay. We're having a water baptism on Sunday, August 30th. So if you desire to be baptized in water, there's a sign-up sheet in the back, and we're going to have a baptism on that night, on that day. It's a Sunday, and it'll be following our service. So that'll be a great time. Hallelujah. And if you'd like to help our youth go to camp, they're selling some subs. They've been very diligent raising money and going to youth camp this year. It's a worthwhile endeavor. So even if you don't like subs, buy some subs and give them to some people that like them. Amen. But there's also a sheet in the back for that. And we're going to pray over our offering tonight. How many, you know what? It's a pleasure and a privilege to give to God. Amen. And when you give, it is like sowing seed. And God takes that seed, he receives it, and he multiplies it, and he gives it back to you more than what you planted. Amen. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you for the joy, the privilege that it is to give into your kingdom, Lord. And we give because we love you, and we know that you bless us in return. I call every gift blessed by the hand of the Lord, and every giver abundantly blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're continuing our lesson, and we're talking about the nine ways that the Holy Spirit manifests himself to edify, encourage, and comfort the people of God and to minister to people who don't know God. Amen? And, you know, I was thinking about the young people tonight. You have a great advantage as a young person to be privileged to hear this information. And I pray that our young people would get a revelation about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, get acquainted with these and just make yourself available to God. Amen? And how do you do that? You say, God, here I am. Now, God knows where you are, but when you say, here I am, you're giving God an invitation. You know, Isaiah had a vision, and the Lord said, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. He made himself available, right? So young, especially young people tonight, make yourself available to God, because what we're talking about will help you in life. Amen? And I want our young people to be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want our young people of VCF to be 10 times wiser than their peers. Amen? Well, you know, when you live for God, when you do things his way, and when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, that's what's going to happen. Amen? So, I don't know, I just wanted to encourage you young people. You know, we serve a God who likes to express himself. He wants his will known on earth. He wants his word proclaimed, you know, and he's waiting until everybody gets a chance to hear his word until he comes. That's the value that he puts on. And God likes to be seen, and God likes to be heard. And everything, anytime that God is working, someone's going to hear something, or someone's going to see something, or it might be both. All right? It's because our God is an expressive God. He reveals himself to us. And these are some ways. I want to just take a moment and encourage you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. Notice what Paul said. Now, Paul was he was big on the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After all, it was God showed him these things so that he could write it down for our benefit. Okay? But look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, notice, in all utterance is speaking, and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Verse 7, so that you come behind in what? No gift. God doesn't want you coming behind. He wants you ahead. Amen? So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to a church who had the manifestations of the Holy Spirit operating in them. And he's telling them he doesn't want you to come behind in any gift. So I want to encourage you to that. Don't come behind in any gift. All right? How do you not come behind in any gift? You hear what God's word says about him, and you believe it, and you make yourself available. All right? Then go to Romans 1 and 11. Romans 1 and verse 11. This was one of those last-minute adjustments that the Lord was putting on my heart. And notice what Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." Well, these gifts that God gives us help us to be established. All right? And one more. Go to Romans 11, verse 29. Romans 11, verse 29. Notice what it says. "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." God's not sorry that he gave these gifts. God's not sorry that he put these gifts in his word. God's not sorry about these gifts. He didn't give them with repentance. He gave them to us to use, to help us help others. Amen? These are supernatural, divine tools. Remember Batman, the TV show? Some of the kids are like, what? There was a TV show? Well, Batman had a belt. And in that belt contained every tool and item that he needed to fight the bad guys. And when he needed to pull a special tool, he'd pull it. I didn't know that belt could hold so much. But I mean, he pulled amazing things out of that belt. But they were tools that helped him do what he needed to do. And these are tools that help us in the same way. And, Paul told Timothy, he said, "Wherefore I put you in," 2 Timothy 1:6, "I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God." Listen, we need to stir up the gift of God that was given to us through the laying on of hands. We need to activate. You know, if you had a stick of dynamite, you could hold it and nothing would happen. But the minute you light that fuse, you better get out of the way. Right? So I want you to light the fuse tonight. Of not the dynamite, but the dunamis. All right? Dunamis is the power of God. All right? You ready to get into these things, the manifestations of the Spirit of God? We covered two last week. The word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Whew. And let's just look, let's go to verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So these are given to all of us so that we can profit. How many know that profit is good? Even if this is a nonprofit corporation, profit is good. All right? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now look at verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now this is not saving faith. This is not faith when you hear a word from God and you act on it. This is supernatural, powerful faith. The Holy Spirit manifests this faith in our lives when we need it. The manifestation of faith is the supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit in the experience of the one possessing it, which enables him to sustain unwavering trust in God for his personal protection and for the provision of his needs. All right? And it's the manifestation of faith, the manifestation of the Spirit, which gives us this supernatural faith. This supernatural faith actually brings things into operation. It brings the invisible and limitless resources into this realm. Okay? It gives us access to the invisible and limitless resources of heaven so that the one who has extraordinary faith will have the protection of angels. Say this with me. Say, extraordinary faith. Okay? Through this faith, we can overcome all the powers and the forces that would oppose us, like the flames of the fiery furnace. Deliverance from persecutors that would endanger us, and supernaturally blesses us so that things can be carried out in the future. When a father would bless his firstborn son, in a sense, he was operating by the gift of faith. He would speak words over that person. And the words that the father would say over the son would happen. Every blessing that Jacob gave over his children happened. Right? Some of them released provision to them. Others released protection to them. Okay, through this gift of faith, through this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we trust God to work miraculously for us and to triumph over danger. Okay? This faith supernaturally emboldens believers to act, speak, and receive the miraculous. In other words, it's like when the Holy Spirit is manifesting this faith, it's like things become effortless, okay? And we're going to see the examples, and it's going to make a lot more sense, okay? It's going to be clearer. This often works when someone is facing danger or there's a life-threatening situation, okay? Now, you need ordinary Bible faith to yield to and to operate in these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. All right? You have to have faith to allow the Holy Spirit and to yield to these things when the Holy Spirit is operating them. Okay? Like tonight, What did we hear? We heard and saw a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. What was it? Do you know? Right. So Nelson, he spoke in tongues. He had to have the faith to be able to speak. And I have to have the faith to be able to interpret that. You know, that takes ordinary Bible faith, but this faith that we're talking about, the manifestation, it's super ordinary. It's above and beyond ordinary. It's supernatural, okay? It's a high degree of faith, all right? And it comes on you in a moment, okay? Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to see this in operation. 1 Kings 17. And Elijah had just pronounced a drought for Israel because of the wickedness of Ahab. Okay, he said, it's not going to rain except at my word. All right? Now look at verse 2. 1 Kings 17, 2. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Okay? Now the word is going to give him some instructions. He said, verse 3, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. This is the manifestation of supernatural faith. Okay? Did Elijah do anything to get his needs met? No. What came to Elijah? The word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord said, you're going to drink water from the brook, and you're going to have to receive food from ravenous birds. These birds, they eat anything, ravens. They're predators. Now, how many of you, if the Lord said, okay, you're going to go by the Quitafilla, and ravens are going to bring you bread and meat in the morning, and listen, it's going to take supernatural faith for you to receive meals from ravens. That's not some kind of faith that you can, you know, work at. It is a supernatural. Elijah, all he's doing is doing what God said, and God is doing the work. So Elijah, he did not even question the means of which God was going to provide for him. He just accepted it. That's supernatural faith. I mean, think about it. Let's just look at it in the natural. How many of you would like to receive food that a raven brings you? Can I see any hands? So there would have to be a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit in order for you to receive provision that way. Because this provision is unordinary, unorthodox. Elijah couldn't even sit down and think that this was even a possibility. Ravens are going to bring me a burger in the morning and a burger in the evening. Listen, you have to understand, what did Elijah just pronounce in Israel? A drought. So getting food and water, is that not life-threatening? I mean, you can go without food for a long time, but you can't go without water for more than 3 days. But God supernaturally provides this for Elijah. And it was made known to him by the word of the Lord coming to him. It was made known in a supernatural way. Okay? All right? Go with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We know this story. Daniel's peers could not find any way to get rid of Daniel. Daniel just kept getting promoted and promoted, and finally they went to the king and they came up with this idea that we're going to make it illegal to pray for 30 days. You can only pray to the king, all right? Can't pray to anybody else. If you pray to anybody else, you will be thrown to the lions. Hungry, vicious lions, okay? And look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and started to bite his nails because he was really nervous. Oh no, it doesn't say that? Okay, Daniel knew when the writing was signed. He knew what the writing said. He knew what the consequences were for his actions. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel didn't miss a step. Daniel's routine was not interrupted with the news that he was going to be thrown to the lions for what? For praying. He didn't miss a beat. He didn't miss a step. He just kept on doing what he normally did. All right? And, of course, they assembled outside of his house. They heard him praying. They went to the king. And the king realized that he had been duped. And he was upset. But because he signed it into law, it was a law. And he had to carry it through. So they got Daniel. And they threw him, they cast him into the den of lions, verse 16. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now that's pretty good when other people are sharing your testimony. All right? And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king had a sleepless night. And go down to verse 22. And Daniel said, O king, live forever. He said, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. So supernatural protection. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. You know? He could not get scriptures that said God will protect you from the lions. Okay? He didn't have that at the time. So he's in there. I want you to look at his state of mind. He's very calm. He's at peace. He is not worried. The king calls the next day and he says, O king, live forever. But God sent an angel, a supernatural being with a supernatural manifestation. And, you know, I could just imagine Daniel using one of those lions as a pillow. He just laid his head again. He knew that there would be no harm come to him. He just had an assurance, but it was supernatural. That's the manifestation of faith in operation. Okay? Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And let's go down to verse 24. Matthew 17, 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? This was the temple tax. In verse 25, he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened its mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and you. A supernatural manifestation of faith. How is that? Peter was very calm in taking a hook. Notice it wasn't a net. Okay? What are the chances naturally of catching a fish with a coin in its mouth? Huh? And it's the first fish. Notice, he said, take a hook. He didn't even say bait it. I'm sure that he baited it, though. I don't know. But Peter had to, with supernatural faith, he had to go down to that water. He had to put his pole in, and he had to do whatever he had, a fisherman does to get that fish. The fish bite it. He hooked it. He brought it up, and sure enough, opened it. And there was money to pay the tax for Jesus and for Peter. But there was no questioning from Peter, which he would have normally done, wouldn't he? I mean, in other times, he was like, but Lord, I don't think so, or Lord, this isn't going to be right, or, you know, he would always say or do something that was almost kind of contrary, but not this case. He went down to that water, he put in his hook, and the first fish he caught, he got it, he opened it up, and sure enough, just as Jesus said, this is a supernatural manifestation of faith. Over and above, a high degree, you know, amazing. When Jesus had 5,000 people that he was ministering to, and he realized that they were hungry. You know, they'd been following him for days. And Jesus had compassion on them, and he wanted to feed them. First, he said to his disciples, you feed them. He said, well, we could take this money and go in and buy food, but that wouldn't be enough for everybody. Ah, but then another disciple said, well, there's this young boy here who has this, you know, two-piece fish dinner from Long John Silver's with hush puppies. No fries, just fish and hush puppies. And in order to provide for the thousands of people that were there, Jesus received it and he offered thanks. And what happened? They kept dishing out the fish and hush puppies. And every time someone came, they would come and, you know, and I'm sure the disciples were thinking, you know, they probably had looks on their face like, because they kept dishing out the fish and the bread. A supernatural manifestation of faith. When this is in operation, people are at peace. People are calm. There's no anxiety. It's pretty much effortless when this is in manifestation. God wants to manifest supernatural faith in your life for things that you need, for protection when you're facing danger or when you're facing a life-threatening situation. It's like when I was hit by a van. And Fiona just came and she laid her hands on me and she said, no broken bones, no internal injuries, and no blood. And that's it. And they were probably looking at her like, are you crazy, woman? But she just had a supernatural moment where she's walking down the aisle to see me spewed out on the road. And God speaks to her. And she takes that supernatural manifestation and she speaks those words, and I had no broken bones, no internal injuries, no head injuries. I spent only 24 hours in the hospital. That was it. Thank God for the manifestation of this faith. And these gifts are operated as the Holy Spirit wills, but he needs willing vessels. He needs people who will yield to him when he wants to operate this. Now, you got to just go with the Holy Spirit. It seems strange to say what she said, but it was what needed to be said. In that moment, God deposited into her because she was available. She recognizes the voice of God. Okay? You got the gift, the manifestation of faith? All right? Now let's talk about the next one, the gifts of healings. All right? This word gifts, it's the word charisma. And it means a gift of grace. It means a free gift. It means divinely empowers a believer to share God's work with others. It means grace endowments to edify the church. It means spirit-empowered service to the church to carry out God's plan. That's what this word means. All right? And the word healings is the word iama. It means a healing. It means a curing, a remedy. It's always in the plural. It means a means of healing, remedy, and medicine. Okay? The gifts of healings are those healings which God effects by his Spirit. This is a spiritual and supernatural manifestation of God's Holy Spirit given to the church for the purpose of removing sickness, disease, weakness, and infirmity. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad that God does not want that? He's in the business of removing that. God didn't give it to you, but he certainly can take it away. All right? Now, because this word is plural, that's a very interesting thing. It has several divine operations. Okay? How many have seen a cluster of grapes? Right? You have a cluster of grapes. You know, maybe there's 20 grapes on one cluster, but each grape, you know, you can get the benefit of each grape, but they come in clusters. They come together. That's kind of like the gifts of healings. It's like a cluster of grapes, and there's a different grape for a different disease. Okay? I mean, we have classes of diseases, don't we? For example, there are muscular diseases, nervous diseases, circulatory diseases, respiratory diseases, skin diseases, mental diseases, right? But there are also, this is the only one of these manifestations that's plural, gifts of healings. Okay? When the gifts of healings are in manifestation, a simple instruction or a simple touch can cause the healing to manifest. Some have even testified that their hands would become very warm and people they touched were healed. It just, you know, people that operate in this gift, you know, that's just one person testifying of how that was an operation. Sometimes a person may be anointed for a particular disease, and they may have greater success with cancers than they would with respiratory problems. You know, when the gifts of healing are in manifestation, you know, if they're gifted in removing cancers, cancers just fall off. They just go. They just disappear. Whereas they might not be that way with other diseases, but that particular gift that God's given them is in operation that way. That doesn't mean that, you know, God's got many ways to heal us. You can be healed by faith. You can be healed by the laying on of hands, by prayer, by anointing with oil, but you can also be healed by the gifts of healing as well. And when they're in operation, these things will happen. Okay? Go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And once again, healings will come about with very little effort. And Naaman, who was a Syrian general, he had leprosy. And he heard that there was a prophet in Israel that could probably bring about his healing. So he comes to Israel, and the king of Israel was very scared because he sees the Syrian general coming, and he didn't know if he was coming for peace, but he was coming to see the prophet Elisha. And when he gets to Elisha's house, go down to verse 20. And Elisha doesn't even come out to see him. Okay? And Gehazi, oh no, that's not where I wanted to go. It's verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean." Now, was there healing water in the Jordan River? No. But there was a manifestation of the Spirit working with gifts of healing. Okay? But Naaman was wroth. What does wroth mean? Angry. And went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." See, sometimes we have preconceived ideas as how God should work. But the Holy Spirit has, his ideas are much better. No matter how crazy and how illogical it seems to us, you have to go with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I'm sure that the Bible doesn't say it, but God must have communicated in some way to Elisha to say this, to give this message. Okay? So, he says, "Are not these other rivers in Syria, are they not better than the Jordan?" Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Do you realize how close he was to missing a miracle? Because there was an attitude that the flesh was starting to rear up, and he could have missed what God wanted to do. Okay? But verse 13, "And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you have done it? How much rather then when he said to you, wash and be clean?' Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God." And notice what happened to his flesh. "It became like unto the flesh of a little child." This grown man that had a skin disease, couldn't get rid of it, and he meets the prophet, and the prophet says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And at first he was reluctant, but he was convinced by a servant, and he went and he dipped 7 times, and supernaturally his skin was transformed. Not just like that of an adult, but like a young boy. Nice and smooth. Supernatural manifestation. No hands were laid on him, but he was given an instruction with supernatural results. In Numbers 21, you don't have to turn there, but the people were weary about their trip and they were starting to complain. And how many know that God loves complainers? No, listen to me. He loves complainers, but he hates complaining. I was trying to trick you there. And the people were complaining. And do you realize whenever we complain about things, God takes it personal? You can read that story in Numbers 21. God took their complaints against him. And so fiery serpents were released into the camp. And they were biting people, and people were dying. So what does God do? He tells Moses to make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up. And everyone who looks at that, now that wasn't just a gaze, but it was a look. All right? Everyone who looked to the snake on the pole that Moses made, everyone who looked got healed. That's a manifestation of the gifts of healings. In John 5, we know the story. There was a pool of Bethesda. And at certain times, an angel would come down out of heaven and stir the waters. And what would happen when people got into the water when they were stirred? They were healed. Supernatural. The stirring didn't occur all the time, but at certain times the angel would come and stir that water, and when the water was stirred, people would get in it, and they were healed. And Jesus healed a man there who had been there for 38 years. For 38 years he was trying to get into that pool and couldn't. Aren't you glad that God has more than one way of getting things to you? Amen? But these were supernatural manifestations. Okay? Let me give you one more of this, and then we'll take some questions. Okay, go to Luke 17. Luke 17. And let's go down to verse 11. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I want you to know something. Any healing that God brings about, it's a display of his mercy. Healing is a display of God's mercy. That's why some people who aren't saved get healed, because it's a thing that God does to draw them to him. He does these things to show himself who he is. These manifestations point to Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Is there any miraculous thing in showing yourself to the priest? No. But as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Isn't it interesting how this manifestation affected 10 people, but only one of out of the 10 responded to what was done in them, or done for them? And the one who responded and worshiped him, not only was he healed, but Jesus said he was made whole. Now the others, the leprosy had stopped, but they were not made whole. But note, I want you to notice Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And in going, something happened in their bodies, supernaturally. Once again, hands were not laid on them, but this could come about by the laying on of hands, but it was a manifestation of the gifts of healings. It's another way of God demonstrating his compassion to us. God doesn't want you sick. Never since the beginning, listen, in the beginning, he created us to live forever. Sickness did not come in until when? Who can tell me when sickness came in? When sin came in. Sin brought its brother sickness. And if it wasn't for sin, we would not be sick. But sin infected the earth. And as a result of sin, there is sickness in this earth. But God's got the cure. And he can bring about the cure, the remedy, in many, many ways. This is just one way that God heals us. Amen? All right. Any questions about the manifestation of faith and the manifestation of the gifts of healings? Come on, you got some questions about these. Ask anything you wanted to know regarding these. Or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. Everybody understands what the gift of faith, the manifestation. Yes, Carolyn. About, can I talk about a person being available to walk in these? Okay. When a person gets born again, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then when a person gets baptized with the Holy Spirit, they have access to the spiritual workings of God. Okay? And as you walk with God, as you do His Word, as you develop your relationship with Him, okay, you get to where you're willing to do what God wants to do, go where God wants to go, and be what God wants you to be. Okay? You have now entered into a position of availability. God is looking for people whom He can work through. Because everything that God wants to do in this earth, He will do through a person. That's what He set it up from the beginning by giving us dominion. And when we make ourselves available, we're just saying, we're just being willing to serve God in any way, shape, or form, and we don't get jealous when someone is used in these things and we're not. You know, it's about keeping a right attitude. It's about walking by faith. It's about doing what God wants us to do. All those things combined make us available to God. And it puts us into a position that when these gifts operate, we're more likely to be sensitive to them so that God can use us in them. Okay? Does that help you? Good. Good question. Thou shalt not fear to ask. I know you got some things brewing. Maybe you were taught in a negative way about these things. You know, I guarantee you that there's not going to be, I mean, the percentage of churches that talk about these things are far less than the churches that don't talk about them. Yeah, did I say that right? The churches that talk about these things are far less in percentage than the churches that don't talk about them at all. But yet, these gifts were used in the church to bring people to Jesus, to change cities and towns. I mean, you read the book of Acts. I mean, cities got the fear of God in them. It was all because of these manifestations. Yes. Are you referring to water baptism or? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah, you can. God always leads his people in steps. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. So walking is taking one step at a time. And the more we walk with God, we should be increasing in the knowledge of God. We should be increasing in our capacity to operate in the things of God. You know, we should grow in knowledge. We should grow in love for people. The Bible talks about our love abounding more and more. And the Bible says we need to increase, but it all starts with a step. And I would encourage you to read these manifestations. There's 9 of them. 3 of them reveal something. 3 of them say something. And 3 of them do something. Okay? And the more you get acquainted, don't just read them, but meditate on them. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you and get accustomed to his voice. Because he's going to lead us through his voice, through his inward witness, through, you know, God only led people through angelic visitations, very, very minimal. But he spoke to people's hearts a whole lot more than angels appeared to them. So as a Christian, you've got to learn how to discern the voice of the Lord, how he speaks to you, how does he use you, how does he work in your life. You got to become familiar with that. Because the more you're familiar with how God uses you and how God speaks to you, the easier it is to yield to him when it's time to yield to him. And you always got to do it in God's order. I mean, God's a God of order. He doesn't cause confusion. And if we're doing it in a confusing way, then maybe we need to change our tactics, because God does not, he's not the author of confusion. All right? Thank you. Good question. Yes, Miss Wanda. Yes. Okay. God, when you pray for a person, they don't really believe. God will allow a person who's young in the Lord to, so to speak, ride on someone else's coattails. And he does that out of mercy. He does that out of grace. But there does come a point in time when he expects people to believe him. And a lack of faith, you know, we studied about that, you know, about mountain moving faith. There were times when people, their faith was so small that it hindered the operation of what God wanted to do. So maybe you need to pray that their eyes of understanding being opened or being enlightened to help them. You know, they have to have an encounter with God. But and you'll find that sometimes if you're ministering to someone and they're not receiving, then you need to maybe change your strategy, and maybe you need to just read to them stories of what Jesus did to kind of build their faith. You know, and then maybe they'll get a revelation of what it means to be in faith. But yeah, God will allow people to ride on someone else's coattail for a time, but then there comes a point where they have to believe for themselves too. You can't just ride on someone's coattails for 20 years or 10 years or even a year, really. I mean, think about a baby. We all expect babies to grow. They go from crying to crawling to talking to walking. There's development. There's growth. Same is true with Christianity. God expects us to grow and develop. So hopefully that helps you. You know, when you pray for someone and you're in faith, you can't use your faith for them. So, amen. All right, I want us to stand up. And if you can't stand up, that's fine, you can sit. But I want us to lift our hands up in a surrendered position. And I want us to say, Lord God, I'm available for you. However you want to use me, I yield to you. I have no restrictions. I have no fear. Because, Lord, you lead me on the right path. I'm your child. You're my God. And I yield to you in Jesus' name. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Anytime, any place, anywhere, anyhow, I yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you, we magnify you. We worship you. We bless your holy name. We give you glory and honor and praise. See, take these words to heart. What you've heard tonight is the truth of God's word. Don't just take my word for it. Look these things up yourself. Look at these stories. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you further, because you know, I don't want you to be quoting me. I want you to be quoting the Bible. So you can't help people by saying, this is what Pastor Doug says. That's not going to work. But it will work when you say what the Bible says. Amen? And I will always point people to the Word. Our God is good. And God's got an amazing toolbox for you to help people come into the knowledge of the truth. And God puts you in places, in workplaces. He puts you in neighborhoods and with people to be a light and to be a blessing. So go and do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good night.